Good morning, everybody. Good to be here. Cheryl and I are always glad to be at our home church. Hon, would you stand up so everybody can see that you're here with me, please? I have two of my great-grandsons right here, Colson and Malcolm, and my granddaughter, Amy. They're there. And somebody told me that my granddaughter, Brooke, and her husband, Luke, are here as well. I don't know where they are. Where are you? Are you in here somewhere? Up there? Anyway, we're glad to be here. It's always good to be at our home church. Most weekends, we're away somewhere else preaching in one of our network churches, one of Worship Center network churches, or somewhere in the Northeast. But there's no place like our home church. To be here with Pastor Matt and Kelly and this great congregation, we appreciate Pastor Matt and Kelly and are so blessed to see them leading Worship Center along with their team and their staff. And his preaching just gets better all the time, doesn't it? Yep. I listen to it every week. Usually try to shoot him a text with a little encouragement or something. And so we're blessed to see the ongoing local and global outreach, just like, what's that called, Pack Hope, yesterday. Thousands of people being reached with the love of Jesus. Well, like Pastor Matt says, are you ready for the word?
Yes.
And then like he says, well, I'm ready to bring it. So let's open our hearts and minds to what the Holy Spirit has for us today. Father, thank you for your word. We know that your word is you speaking to us. And so we lean our ears toward you today and to the word. In Jesus' name, amen. The main scripture for today is Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 and 7, where it says, for a child is born to us, a son is given to us, the government will rest on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His government and its peace will never end. He will rule with fairness and justice from the throne of his ancestor David for all eternity. The passionate commitment of the Lord of Heaven's armies will make this happen. So the prophet Isaiah prophesied this about 700 or 750 years before Jesus came to the earth. He was talking about when Jesus would come from heaven to the earth and be born of a virgin and show the world what God is like and what his plan was for mankind, what God's plan was for mankind. And this child would be a son given to us. He will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Prince of Peace. Today we want to talk about Jesus as the Prince of Peace. And Jesus entered a world in turmoil to bring peace, and it's the same today. You don't have to look around much to see the same thing today. People are at war with God. Nations are at war with each other. People are at war with themselves, with one another, bringing division, anger, and anxiety. But the good news of Jesus is peace on earth and goodwill to all. And Jesus is called the Prince of Peace because he is our peace offering. He chose to go to the cross. How many of you are glad he chose to go to the cross and offer himself as a sacrifice on the cross for our sins so that we could have peace with God? He mended our broken relationship with God and surpassed any good work we could ever do. He is the one who removes all peace-disturbing factors and secures the peace. And I believe I could speak for all of us in this room that all of us desire peace of mind and peace of heart. You might say, well, how do you define peace? Well, I looked it up in the dictionary, looked it up in the commentary, and it means several different things. Freedom from disturbance or agitation, or absence of strife, or anchored assurance, trust, calm, fulfillment, or quietness and rest. All of that encompasses the word peace. One young mother said, actually Kristen Lead, one of our worship leaders. She said, peace to me is when the kids are in bed. So we could say peace is when we have a calm assurance in our mind and heart within the circumstances of life. Within the circumstances of life. When our heart and mind are at one with each other, the mind is the place we worry or have anxiety. When we give our lives to Jesus, the Holy Spirit comes in to live with us. He comes in with all of his person, with all of his attributes. That means he comes in including peace. And so we already have peace living on the inside of us, in our spirit, and the spirit man is always trying to bring that peace up to the mind, always trying to feed the mind the peace that is already in our heart. When Jesus was raised from the dead, the first thing he said to the disciples when he appeared to them was, peace be with you. The disciples were hiding. They were behind locked doors. The Bible says, it says on Sunday evening, that morning he was raised from the dead, Sunday evening the disciples were meeting behind locked doors because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders. Suddenly Jesus was standing there among them. Peace be with you, he said. As he spoke, he showed them the wounds in his hands and his side. They were filled with joy when they saw the Lord. Again, he said, peace be with you. 8 days later, he came to them again. They were hiding, still behind locked doors. And suddenly, as before, Jesus was standing there, and he said, peace be with you. So three times. Now, maybe it was a greeting they used. It's possible. But I think it was more than that, because the disciples were anxious. They were afraid of the Jewish leaders, like we just read. So he spoke peace to them to calm their fears and their anxiety. And that's what the peace of God will do if we allow the peace that is in our spirit to influence our mind and bring that peace to our mind, to our anxieties and our worries. Can I have an amen? Are you all out there this morning? So a couple points about peace this morning. Number one, Jesus came to bring peace between God and man. In Colossians chapter 1, it says, for God in all his fullness. I don't know if I ever saw that before. I probably did. But it just stood out to me. For God in all his fullness was pleased to live in Christ. So when Jesus was living here on the earth, God was living in him in all his fullness. So what you see Jesus doing when you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, God was doing that. God was in him in all his fullness. And through him, through Jesus, God reconciled everything to himself. He made peace with everything in heaven and on earth by means of Christ's blood on the cross. Then he says, this includes you. This includes you who were once far away from God. How I remember that day. I think I was farther away from God than he was from me. I thought I was. You were his enemies, it says, separated from him by your evil thoughts and actions. Yet now he has reconciled you to himself through the death of Christ in his physical body. As a result, are you listening? As a result, he has brought you into his own presence. Brought you into his own presence, and you are holy and blameless as you stand before him without a single fault. That is something to shout about. Don't just patty cake, clap loud. Come on, clap if you want to clap. You are holy and blameless as you stand before him without a single fault. The peace that comes to us when we give our lives to Jesus passes understanding. My mind goes back. February 1972, living in Phoenix, Arizona. I was a drunk. At the same time, I was a head usher in a church. Saturday night, I'd be out partying. Sunday morning, ushering people to their seats in a church. Those people didn't have any discernment. Sherilyn was locking me out of the house. Give her a hand for knocking me out of the house. Locking me out of the house. Because I'd come home drunk, throw up over the place. She got tired of it. I remember one of those times, she had fire in her eyes. And I guess, I know this is crazy, but I guess I had thrown up over the mattress, and man, she got up out of that bed, and she, you know, and I was still drunk, and she said, "You get up and get this mattress out of here. Take it out to the backyard." And I said, "Oh, okay, I'll take it out to the backyard." But my life was on a downward spiral. I mean, not good. So this group, singing group, came to the church. They were called the Agape Players. And they, something was different. They had life. I liked it. I was searching. So we followed them around the city of Phoenix a couple nights, and they would have altar calls, and I'd start to sweat and shake. And one night, Sherilyn said, "I'm going to go up and rededicate my life," and I followed her up there. Little 14-year-old member of their singing group prayed for me, led me in a prayer to receive Jesus. I'll never forget. All the anxieties, all the worries, all the fear of death left me. And peace flooded my soul. I'd never felt that before. I feel it right now. There's nothing like, if you're full of anxiety, full of worries, full of the fear of death, nothing like the peace of God coming in to your heart and to your mind and changing you. So peace between God and man. Number two, peace in our relationships. Let's talk about that for a minute. This is probably the most difficult area to maintain peace in relationships. In Psalm 34, it says, "Does anyone want to live a life that is long and prosperous?" Any takers? Want to live a life that is long and prosperous? "Then keep your tongue from speaking evil and your lips from telling lies. Turn away from evil and do good." Now watch this. "Search for peace and work to maintain it." Another translation says, "Pursue peace," which means to go after it. In Romans 12, it says, "Never pay back evil with more evil. Do things in such a way that everyone can see you're honorable. Do all that you can." Did you see that? "Do all that you can to live in peace with everyone." In a relational problem, and I'm sure that many of you have had relational problems. You might say, "Well, Pastor Sam, have you had relational problems?" Of course. Pastor's family is no different than yours. In a relational problem, do all you can. Let the rest up to God. He can soften hearts and work in people's hearts and minds. Many times, it's simply to have a conversation and be willing to wipe the slate clean and have a fresh start. So who's going to humble themselves and say, "I'll be the one to start this. I'll be the one to go. I'll be the first one to humble myself and go and get a resolve, hopefully get a resolve to this relationship issue." Yeah, but Pastor Sam, you don't know what they said. You don't know what they did to me. I don't. But it reminds me of a story about my mom. My mom has five sons-in-law, five daughters. They're all married. My mom's been in heaven for 30 years. So I can tell this story because she's not here. And the son-in-law that I'm referring to, he's not here either. And so there was a rift between him and my parents. For years. I mean 35 years. That's sad. That is just sad. And so my uncle had a dream, and in the dream, he asked the son-in-law what it would take to make amends with the son-in-law and my parents. And so he followed the dream, and he contacted the son-in-law and said, what would it take? And the son-in-law said, if Ari, my mom, would ask for forgiveness. And so my uncle contacted my mom and said that to her. And she said, well, she said, I don't know. She said, we've been wondering for years what we did. We don't know what we did. And then she said this, she said, but I can do that. I can humble my, she didn't say this, I'm saying it. She was saying, I can humble myself and I can do that. She did. She didn't know what for. See, somebody, if you're at a standstill with a relational problem and nothing is happening, somebody has to be willing to stand up, whether they're the problem or not, and humble themselves, put away their pride, and say, let's have a conversation. And so he accepted her apology, and then the next couple days, he was a cabinet maker. The next couple days, he came down and did some cabinet work for her. But she had to humble herself. So they had a clean slate and a fresh start. And maybe that's your case today. Maybe you have a relational family issue that somebody needs to start it to bring the resolve. Number three points about peace. We're to be peacemakers. The Bible says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Matthew 5:9 in the New Living says, God blesses those who work for peace, for they will be called the children of God. We are carriers of peace. We carry it. Our presence should bring peace into a room or a situation. Just our presence. Because we carry that fruit of the Spirit on the inside, the Holy Spirit lives on the inside of us, and so we are peace carriers. Peacemakers, peace carriers. We carry it with us wherever we go. We have peace inside of us. Jesus lives in us through the Holy Spirit. We don't have to manufacture peace. It's already in there. It's a part of what the Holy Spirit brought into our lives. We have the Prince of Peace living in us. Let's talk to Him about our situations. Not too long ago, well, it's a couple years now, Sherilyn and I were on our way to visit a family who had experienced a tragedy, a family in the church here. And so we got out of the car at their place. We were walking in on the sidewalk, and I said to Sherilyn, I said, you know, hon, we don't have to say anything here today. Let's not say anything. And I said, let's let our presence bring peace and comfort. And that's what you can do. Your presence can bring peace and comfort. Sometimes when we try to say stuff, we say the wrong stuff. So we're peace carriers. We carry that peace with us wherever we go. Are you here today? Number four. Peace is a path for us to walk on. Peace is a path. In Luke chapter 1, we have the story of the birth of John the Baptist and the birth of Jesus. John the Baptist's father's name was Zechariah. And Zechariah and his wife could not have children. So an angel came to him and said, you're going to have a child. And Zechariah didn't believe the angel. So the angel said, because you didn't believe me, you're not going to be able to talk. And I thought, maybe we ought to be that way. Sometimes when we have doubt and unbelief, maybe we ought to just keep our mouths shut or have God shut it for us. And so the baby was born, and they were wondering what to name the baby, and they wanted to name it Zechariah after his father, but Elizabeth said, his name is John. What? They exclaimed, there's no one in all your family by that name. So they used gestures to ask the baby's father, which was Zechariah, who couldn't talk, what he wanted to name him. He motioned for a writing tablet, and to everyone's surprise, he wrote, his name is John. Instantly, Zechariah could speak again, and he began praising God. See, that's what we ought to do with our speaking, even in the midst of doubt and unbelief. Just praise God when you're questioning something. Just begin to praise and worship God. Just like Pastor Matt was talking about last week, give a sacrifice of praise, a sacrifice of worship, even when you don't feel like it. It brings miraculous power into your situations. So he began to praise God, and awe fell upon the whole neighborhood, and the news of what had happened spread throughout the Judean hills. Everyone who heard about it reflected on these events and asked, what will this child turn out to be? For the hand of the Lord was surely upon him in a special way. And then Zechariah started to prophesy. He couldn't talk for all those 9 months. I guess he had to say something. So he started to prophesy, and he prophesied about Jesus coming. And then he prophesied about his own little boy. And he said, you, my little son, will be called the prophet of the Most High, because you will prepare the way for the Lord. You will tell his people how to find salvation through forgiveness of their sins. And then verse 78, I love this. Because of God's tender mercy, the morning light from heaven is about to break upon us. I remember the day when the morning light broke upon me. I remember the next morning after I gave my life to Jesus, the night before, I got up and I looked up. I thought the sky was just more blue than normal. I thought the birds were singing louder, but they weren't. It was just that I was all fogged up. The morning light from heaven is about to break upon us, to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, and to guide us to the path of peace. Path of peace, not just moment of peace, path of peace. God wants us to have peace from the time that we come to the time of age of understanding all the way to the end, till we breathe our last breath. Reminds me of my dad. He was that way. He was just a peaceful man. I never remember him having an argument or hating somebody. Or having a relationship. I don't remember one time. Just peace. So when it was his time to go, it was on a Sunday morning. We were still over in that building. We weren't in this building. It was actually 32 years ago. I was scheduled to preach, and I was over sitting with him, me and my brother Steve, and he looks at me and he said, Pastor, or he didn't say, he said, Sam. He didn't say, Pastor Sam. He said, Sam. He might have said Samuel. Probably said Samuel. He said, I think I'm going home today. And I said, really? He said, yeah. He said, do you think anybody will mind? And I said, no. I said, no, Pop. We called him Pop. I said, Pop, you go on. We'll take care of Mom. Everything will be okay. You just go on. Then he said, I want to see the kids. I want to see everybody. And so we called, my brother Steve and I, we called the other siblings, and they all came except one, I think, and many of the grandkids came, and when they were all there, about 8:30, all the ones that were coming, he said, is everybody here? I said, yep. He said, all right, help me go. I want to go now. So he sat up in bed, and he started rocking like this. He said, I want to go. Come on, help me go. I said, Pop, I don't have control of this. And I said, just lay back down. And Jesus will come and get you. And so we, for 4 hours, I'm talking about peace. I haven't left my subject. Talking about peace. I mean, peace flooded that room. We were singing. Every once in a while, he'd crack a joke. And then one time he said, Eli. I said, what'd you say, Pop? He said, I see Eli. And that was his brother that had died before. And he said, Eli's motioning me to come and saying, why is it taking so long? And then later, he said, who are those two men on the bottom of the bed that dressed in white? I said, I don't know, Pop. I don't see anybody. So about 12:30 that day, he just peacefully went on. If you've ever been in a room where a believer is making the transition from earth to heaven, the peace of God is tangible. One time in a storm, the disciples were about to drown, they thought, and Jesus was in the bottom of the boat sleeping on a pillow. They woke him up and said, Lord, don't you care that we're drowning? And Jesus, the Bible says, Jesus stood up in the stern of the boat and said, peace be still, and a great calm came. A great calm can come to you in your situation. God can bring a great calm to you, to all of us. This is the peace we can have because the Prince of Peace lives in us. There was this artist's convention where all these artists gathered to show their drawings. And in the middle of the artist's convention, they had a contest to draw a picture. All the artists were to draw a picture depicting peace. And they all drew, you know, pictures of river, little streams and meadows and flowers and all these peaceful things, except the guy that won. He drew a picture of a raging ocean with the waves out of control splashing up against the rocks. And big dark clouds, and on his picture he had a lightning strike come down through. Waves crashing against the rocks. And in the rocks there was a cleft, there was a little opening, and there was a little bird there that had a little nest there with little birds, and that little bird was singing. Everybody look at me, that's us. We're like that little bird singing in the midst of the storms of life. Jesus said, I am leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart, and the peace I give is a gift the world cannot give. So don't be troubled or afraid. It's a gift. It's a gift. Actually, Jesus said that before the Holy Spirit came. Even before the Holy Spirit came, it was a gift. And then the Holy Spirit was a gift that came on the inside of us and brought peace with him. We don't have to manufacture it. We have to receive it. Father, I thank you for your word today. I pray that for this, all of us in this room, I pray for a calm assurance to settle in on us. Regardless of what situation we're in, regardless of what relationship drama we're in, regardless of what's going on, Lord, we receive that calm assurance in our spirit right now. Maybe you're sitting here today, say, Pastor Sam, I've never experienced the kind of peace you talked about that flooded your heart when you gave your life to Jesus. Today's your day. Today's your day to give your life to Jesus. I want to lead you into prayer. You say, I want to give my life to Jesus today. I want to lead you into prayer. And you might say, well, Pastor Sam, I did it one time, but I'm even not sure where I'm at with God. I want to encourage you to pray a prayer of rededication today. And we can all pray this, just so no one's praying alone. So I want to lead you in this prayer. especially if you've never prayed the prayer to follow Christ, or if you want to rededicate your life. Let's pray it together. Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. I believe he's the Son of God. I believe he came to this earth, gave his life, shed his blood for the forgiveness of my sin. I believe he was raised from the dead so that I can have eternal life. I believe in my heart and declare that Jesus Christ is my Lord and my Savior. I'll never be the same again. Thank you, Jesus, for changing my life. Amen and amen. If you prayed that prayer today to give your life to Christ or to rededicate your life, would you be bold enough to lift up your hand? The ushers have something they'd like to give you. They have a box that has a Bible in it and some other literature for you that'll help you. Would you just lift up your hand if you prayed that to give your life to Christ or to rededicate your life?